Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Art C., and once supremely confident, I'm now scared to death about tonight's game in Charlottesville, Bob Lee.
This is Bob Lee. The Fighting Fedorians visit Mr. Jefferson in the Valley of the Shenandoah, and we're going to talk about it.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it is time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Ron Stutz. Tonight's Good Sports with Bob Lee, and Art C. is coming to you live from University Square in downtown Chapel Hill as we count down to the Tar Heels game with Virginia. Good evening, Good Sports. What do you think?
Well, Bob Lee, I'm looking forward to our guest tonight, especially more than probably the game, but our guest is your BFF and UNC's athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, reporting directly from Whoville. But I'm not sure I'm as excited about the game to follow. In this month of polls and trends and elections, the Tar Heels are playing so poorly on defense, maybe they should win the toss and elect to go home.
Whoa, Art. But we have Bubba, the real AD, and as you said, he is my latest Tar Heel hero.
Well, Ron, I don't know how much you've talked about the Georgia Tech game in the first hour, but we've got a few things to say about it. What do you think?
As little as possible.
Well, first of all,
68-50 would have been great if it had been on the other, been reversed. If we had won 68-50, no one would be complaining about our defense giving up 50 points.
No, it would have been okay if it was a half a mile down the road in the Smith Center. When your football team gives up more points than in a loss than your basketball team gives up in a win, that's not a very good sign for your defense. And we know the Tar Heels have to outscore people until Fedora brings in more better defensive players. But in the name of choo-choo justice, scoring 50 points should be enough to win. Three key miscues turned the game to a Tech. Brin's fumble in the red zone, his interception in their red zone, and Tommy Hibbert's decision to fake a punt, which was his own decision, giving Tech another short field.
Well, I'm a sports fan who likes home runs in baseball and three-point bombs in basketball, so I like what we're calling pinball football. And I think 50 is the new 30 when it comes to scoring points. So you look right now at the scores every Saturday night, and you'll see 10 or 12 or 15 games where a team has scored 50 or more points. So I think we've just joined in with the whole trend in college football. I would expect within two or three years they're going to narrow the field and add an extra two players on defense and make all wide receivers wear oven mitts to cut down the scores and go back like raising and lowering the pitcher's mound and kind of even it up, which I hate to see because I'm an offensive kind of a guy. Stutz, you've always said I'm very offensive.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
No, you know what? It's a tendency to put your better athletes on offense, especially in the skill positions. I just think coaches are going to start putting your better athletes on defense because the game is like basketball now, guys. It's big, tall, talented athletes with speed who know where they're going, and the defense doesn't know where they're going. So the slightest hesitation to figure out the offense, it's a big advantage. You know, if the defense doesn't know where you're going, it's a big advantage, especially the way the offense is the way they spread the field and open up these lanes or –
Well, you know, fans being fans, and we've talked about fans of one of the other area schools being knee-jerk to all upset about their coach who lost a couple of games. And we've had some fans last week coming out of Keenan Stadium who are all upset. They don't know who our defensive coordinator is yet, but they want him fired. You know, I think they still think Dave Huxtable's around. But anyway, that's the natural tendency of fans. Why don't we stop? I've told people all week, and I maintain this, and Art, Ron, you better agree with me on this because, quite frankly, I'm right. We've had 2.5 years of what I'll call damage control recruiting. We have not been able to recruit the depth of top talent that we might normally get, or the superstars. There's no doubt that under the previous coaching regime, we had a lot of super athletes. They brought with them some other baggage, of course, but we don't have the depth of talent on defense. You got Kevin Redick, who is going to have a future playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
But other than that, we don't have the depth of talent on defense that maybe our fans got used to over the last 6 or 8 years.
Well, you know, we've never had that, honestly. I mean, we may have less of it this year. Sly Williams is going to be playing on Sunday for sure. A couple of others are going to get drafted or have a chance to make a team. But the thing about Carolina football through the years, I've always said this, Carolina has had good football players, but never enough of them. And when you get later in the season and some of your players get lost and dinged up, and they knew that the offensive and defensive lines were going to be okay with the starters, but once the season went on and we got some injuries, there was going to be some problems, and that's exactly what's happened.
You know, a lot of fans were saying, well, you had 2 weeks to prepare for Paul Johnson, which is the big thing about their offense. And I don't even have had 3 or 4 weeks, and it wouldn't have mattered. It wasn't that Paul Johnson outsmarted us or we didn't know how to fill the gaps or all the other ways you deal with that offense. It's simply we don't have enough talent, particularly as the game wears on. Even in the course of one afternoon, your first teamers wear out. They get tired. You know, we always said about Florida State and the Bobby Bowden days. They had like 4 or 5 sets of defensive ends they could keep throwing at you with. None of them ever ran out of breath because they were always putting top talent in there. We simply do not have that luxury right now.
Well, you know, I was trapped into thinking that Georgia Tech wasn't very good because they didn't start the season very well.
They lost to a middle school.
I know, but you know what? When they broke the huddle and they came out with those 6'3", 6'4", wideouts on both sides of the formation, and we lined up with our 5'11", cornerbacks and D-backs against them, and then they stopped even running the triple option. They just pitched the ball to the back, and it was like Pac-Man. I mean, their blockers obliterated our defenders, and some of those guys went untouched. So I did hear some carping about Dish and Koenig on the way out, that's always going to be the case. But the funny thing was the guy who really killed us was Vad Lee, their quarterback, who's from Durham Hillside. Who your buddy Butch and John Blake recruited here as a defensive
back. Who's the most famous athlete from Durham Hillside?
John Lucas, right, okay.
There you go.
But hey, are you?
You should have known that.
I know. I should have. But are you blowing me off? I'm telling you, your buddy Butch wanted him to come
I'm
here.
I'm diverting
as a
your attention so we don't start talking about Butch until the final segment.
Well, he won. So what?
We never talk about Butch in the first segment.
No, he didn't say anything negative about Butch.
No,
just mentioned it. They
wanted him to play defensive back, but he went to Tech because he's an option quarterback, and he was fantastic.
We wanted him to be what? A defensive back?
A defensive back, absolutely. So Vad Lee from Hillside came home, and I had a happy homecoming on homecoming.
And you know that he had a lot of family and friends watching that game, so that's a happy young man right now. And, you know, that's the best game he's played all season.
Well, it's also the first full game he's played, so I think he's got a future. But that's it. His future
is ahead of him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's put this one to bed.
Let's put this one to bed, as Fedora says. Let's put it to bed and hope we don't have to
burn the film
too quickly.
Yeah, the Tar Heel defenders were ready to go the next day because they were so anxious to get out there and redeem themselves after giving us 68 points.
Yeah, but Ron, let me tell you something. That's like saying, hey, yeah, the good news is we got everybody back. Last year we went 0-11.
The bad news is we got everybody back.
All right, Carolina's on the road tonight in Charlottesville, traditionally a tough place for Carolina to play. What's going to happen tonight? I mean, we're not going to give up 68 points because I don't think Virginia is going to score that many. I don't think they could. But what's going to happen tonight, guys?
No, I mean, they won't score that many. But we you know, I said we have to score 40 to beat State. We seriously might have to score 50 tonight to beat Virginia because they are going to put some points up against our defense. I mean, whether it's a spread, whether it's a triple option, whether it's and Mike Rocco's a drop back passer. Our secondary has been suspect all year, so they are going to score some points.
And they got a totally different look when they have their other quarterback in there.
Yep.
Rocco's just been playing really well the last.
One thing I keep in mind, whenever we play Virginia, that to me is the ultimate comparable school to us. That is a school that goes back for 60, 70 years. That was the rivalry when Duke was Trinity.
Get out of here.
No, it was the school. Look, Dudley against Choo Choo.
Carolina students have never worn a tie, a blazer, and shorts to a game. I've never seen that here. And that's the uniform up there.
Because you're up and you're in the press box buffet eating chicken fingers.
You keep saying that. You say that all the time about Virginia is a comparable school, and you're so excited about playing a comparable school. Why does that excite you so much?
Well, because it's the oldest rivalry in the South, and it's old as he is.
We should beat a team. We should beat a school that supposedly has the same academic standards and the same historical standards and views itself as a Southern Ivy. There are some people around here, Stutz, who have used the word Southern Ivy to describe this place. Well, they also use it up in Whoville to describe that place. And they talk about how many Rhodes Scholars they have and how many famous authors and where John Grisham lives and stuff. And we've got, James Deaver here or something?
Yeah, but look, we've never had a coach that was a cop before he became a coach.
A cop?
Mike London was a policeman in Virginia before he got into coaching.
What was Al Groh? He's an idiot.
But
you still pay. Al Groh is being paid by three different teams now.
I stumped Bob Lee on that one. I stumped him on that one.
He did. What about George Welch? Has he ever been in law enforcement?
George Welch was a Navy guy, man. He was a commander. Hey, look, Virginia got suddenly good when George Welch got there, and it wasn't because of George Welch. It was because George Welch said, if I'm coming, you're lowering the academic standards and letting some exceptions in. And they did, and they got good right away. So it's all about how many good players you have, and all good players aren't great students. So
what was the first ACC game that Florida State lost?
They lost to Virginia.
To Virginia.
In Charlottesville.
One of the first games in the new porticoed Scott Stadium that didn't have the outhouses for the visiting teams to dress in.
Oh, it's a fabulous facility now. But, we beat them 44-10 last year. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know what their record was in the ACC last year?
I don't know.
1-7.
Wow.
And you know what their overall record was?
I don't know.
4-8.
Hmm.
I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about 2 years ago, the last time we beat them. Now, last year, Virginia turned it around, and they finished 8-4 and 5-3 in the ACC.
They have some kind of bizarre bowl game, if I remember? They played somebody in a bowl game and had a real bizarre ending.
Virginia?
Trust me, they did.
Once again, Bob Lee didn't do his research. He asked the question.
That was a fastball right across the middle of the plate for you to knock out of the park, Arthur, and you just sat there and let the ball go right past you for a called third strike.
Hey, I'll admit it. I come into these things and just talk off the top of my head, but you guys are supposed to do the research.
here we are in beautiful Peacock Alley, and it's like three bulls in a china shop.
He went off script.
See, that's the problem.
He went off script with that one.
Well,
are we taking a break and getting out of here, or what are we doing?
You want to do that, or you want to talk about this other stuff right here?
Yeah, we can talk about this other stuff. What do you think?
What do you think about the ACC divisions? Now, there's a lot of talk about
is that the legends and the loonies?
There's talking about a lot of talk about Carolina not winning the Coastal Division because we can't, but being the best team in the Coastal Division this season. What do you guys think about that now? And what about the other division as well?
Well, we can tie for. We can finish 5-3, and we can tie for first in the Coastal Division. But whereas before last Saturday, if we had done that, we could have called ourselves the best team in the Coastal.
I mean,
we're not the best team if we lost to a team 68-50 that is also tied with us. And I think Georgia Tech's going to finish 5-3.
And if I'm in charge of selling tickets for the Little Johnny Swafford ACC Championship Bowl and Massage Parlor or whatever it is in Panther Stadium then I want Florida State to play Clemson. That's the championship game.
They can't. They're in the same division.
I know, but that's what I want. On behalf of Jeff Beaver and all the people in Charlotte,
Florida State's going to play Duke, right? And they're going to ask they're going to ask you to buy 12,000 tickets so the game can be on TV.
Well,
hey, here's a trivia question for you. I heard you talking about the Keldorf Pass. Didn't you talk about the Keldorf Pass?
Well, I think we're going to talk to Bubba about that.
Yeah, about that. In 1996, when Carolina lost that heartbreaking game and lost a chance to go to what they used to call the Alliance.
We could smell the BCS Alliance. We could smell the Fiesta Bowl.
All right. I'm going off script here, okay? Who is Keldorf Pass intended for?
Randy Marriott.
Don't even look
Charlie
at me.
Charlie Carr.
You only missed it by 30 years. Octavius Barnes, and Octavius blew the route. He ran right. He was supposed to go left, and then Antoine Harris picked up.
From where is he from?
Raleigh, and he ran it 105 yards back.
Yeah.
And he closed it to a 7-point deficit. I mean, we still led by a touchdown, but we totally folded and then gave up another touchdown.
Chief Engineer Anthony just heard you say that, and it brought back memories to him where he's just going, oh, no.
But that really was.
Everybody's thinking Keldorf's pass.
You're talking about Carolina
zone.
Moments of disparagement or heartbreak, sitting in the Omni in 1984 when we lost to Indiana in basketball, sitting in Scott Stadium in 1996 when we lost that game. I mean, there is a small booklet of moments that you remember that being a Carolina fan that still break your heart when you think of them.
Well, T.A. McClendon's knee. And I will remember
why was
Tyler
that a heartbreak?
Well, it wasn't a heartbreak. It was a heart-lifting moment, great moment.
I'm talking about heartbreak
moments. Then you got Tyler Hansbrough's nose meeting David Henderson's elbow. Anthony remembers that one.
Why don't you go read that book, Art, and we'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. We're broadcasting live from University Square in downtown Chapel Hill. We're in the Peacock Alley. We hope you will come by and see us. We're getting ready for Carolina
but
and Virginia.
Not the one in the Waldorf Astoria.
This
the
is
one
our
at University
pregame
Square.
Show don't on WCHL, anything. Presented by Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency in Chapel Hill. Back with more coming up in just a moment after this.
Remember the last time you had the flu? Headache, body ache, chills, fever, stuffy nose? Remember how awful you felt? The best way to prevent the flu is by getting a flu vaccine. UNC Family Medicine is here to help protect you and your family from the flu. After all, who wants to feel sick? Call us at 919-966-0210 or visit us at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Ah, day off, nothing to do, time to relax.
Honey, here's your list of things to do today.
Ah, great.
Hey, no need to punt. Drop back and go long to Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We have always insisted on supplying the most valuable building products backed by our fast-paced, no-huddle service. Come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Or check us out online at FitzLumber.com to help get your game plan together. Now go on.
You know, we still got a long way to go, I mean, before we get to where we want to be. And, you know, so hopefully we'll get a little bit better this week. But we've made improvement every week. So, you know, hopefully at some point during this year we're going to be where we want to be.
We're back now to Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, University Square, Peacock Alley. That's where we are. And Walter Holt, one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, is here. Walter, property manager here at University Square. And Walter, tell everybody what's going on here tonight.
Ron, we're doing our third year of a holiday kickoff with our merchants here at University Square. We have all of our stores open as late as possible, up to about 8 or maybe 9 o'clock. We've got plenty of free parking downtown. All of our merchants that are participating are offering you a wide array of nibbles to eat and little thing to drink. We're just having a good time and glad you guys are here.
Well, I'm enjoying celebrating with the champagne, having a great time here tonight, and we appreciate your hosting us here at University
of Thanks, Ron. We're excited to be here. Like I said, I've been part of the past, the present, hopefully the future, and we're going to do this again. The weather, despite being a little cold or rainy, it wouldn't have been an event with WCHL and me without a little bad weather.
And a nice hat, too, by the way.
Thank you. Love this hat. See you at the Bear.
You got it. Hey, listen, you guys keep talking about playing comparables, and I want to see you get into that really quickly here. Playing comparables and the ACC divisions. We talked about these the haves and the have-nots. What about the player of the year?
Well,
my player of the year is still Gio if he can finish strong, and my coach of the year is Cutcliffe if he can win one more game. Other than that, it's probably Jimbo at Florida State or Al Golden, who I still contend is leaving Miami on his own after the season.
Really?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Al Golden is not sending his dry cleaning out because he's going to leave in about 3 weeks, particularly if they decide to go no bowl again, which is going to be their decision. Donna the Midget will choose to go no bowl again.
Another disparaging Donna comment
dwarf,
by
Bob.
Yeah, I mean, really. Donna the Midget?
Donna the Dwarf. Dwarfette.
Oh, that's better.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Getting politically incorrect here, folks.
We're really thrilled about our special guest who's coming to us directly from Charlottesville.
And you guys are going to be talking to Bubba Cunningham, director of athletics at Carolina.
Bubba. You don't need me to say Cunningham. Say Bubba.
Pardon me.
There
Bubba is on the way next.
It's an icon.
And that is on the way. The conversation with Bubba, who is holed up somewhere in Charlottesville. We're going to talk to him right after this quick break on WCHL. This is The Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Sutz. Come back. See us. University Square.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill. Top of the Hill helped forge the North Carolina microbrewing renaissance, and we are now proud to lead the state in micro distilling. Our organic Topo vodka is handcrafted from scratch in our Franklin Street distillery using only local organic soft red winter wheat. Ask for it in your local ABC store and find establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or the web, topodistillery.com. Drink local, drink Topo vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers!
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty, who you'll be hearing from in the coming months.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
The thing that I noticed about Jabari is even before the game, and he was excited about playing football. And the way he played, it showed. I mean, he was focused in, and, I think he bought into the things that we had talked about all week, are just about, it's about us and not about anybody else, and he played that way.
Arthur, you know, every guest we have here is special. But by golly, today's is special, special. Having the Bubba Cunningham as our special guest, I mean, I'm awed. How about you, Art?
Well, I was awed the day that he was hired, and I've been double and triple awed ever since, if that's a term. Yeah. Instead of double-teamed and triple-teamed, I'm triple awed.
I am really lucky that the other 14 people you called couldn't do the show today.
Actually, we've been trying to get you all season, and this is the only time because we've got you locked in a closet at Scott Stadium for tonight's game. Which, really, have you seen a game at Virginia yet, Bubba?
No, I have not. I haven't seen a football game. I came over for the basketball game last year, so I've been on campus, but not to a football game yet.
Well, I think tonight, would you agree with me, Bob Lee? There'll be a great atmosphere at Scott Stadium, and I love it because I remember covering games up there from the Daily Tar Heel, and after that, when it was basically a glorified high school stadium, and the visiting team changed or had their locker room in an outhouse.
Yep, down in the end zone. I remember that very well. But now, Bubba, you know, when you came on, you asked me to become your official Tar Heel tidbit provider. Little bits of Tar Heel history that people like Art and I, who've been around here for 50 years, we grow up in. But you're new, and we wanted to make you sound real, real smart. So as you know, I've provided you little hints of things like Jim Knight and T.A. McClendon's knee and 8 points down with 17 seconds to go, Tyler Hansbrough meeting David Henderson's elbow. these little elements that people say, where were they when it happened? And you right now are in this at the scene of one of those moments. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
All right. But 16 years ago, almost tonight, it's called Chris Keldorf's pass in the red zone. Carolina was as close to BCS glory. We could smell it, Bubba. We could touch it if we reached out. We were destined to go. I think it was the Fiesta Bowl, wasn't it, Art?
Yeah.
It was all they were. The Fiesta Bowl guy was in the stands. We're leading the game deep into the fourth quarter. We're in the red zone, about to score again. And if we don't score, we're going to kick a field goal, and we definitely got they're up by two scores now. And somebody, and no one's ever claimed this, called a pass over the middle by Keldorf, who was having a great season. It gets run back 97 yards, and that's the closest we've ever been to a BCS game.
Yeah, and it was a game that we were really up by more than one score, and it was one of those things where we hadn't won there in so long that once that happened, we sort of started looking over our shoulder, and Virginia, which was not very good, made a great comeback, and that was as close. I think they called it the Alliance back then, Bob Lee, before the BCS. But that was as close as to a big New Year's Day bowl that we were under Mack Brown.
But that's why we brought you here, Bubba, that things like that will never happen again.
Well, I did bring our golden horseshoe, so we were going to get lucky. I'll have that with me in my pocket during the game, so we won't have bad luck.
Well, can we have the administrative answer to this question? What the hell happened to our defense last week?
Oh, the administrative answer for that. Yeah, I guess the administrative answer would be, I don't know, we haven't looked at the tape yet. We got to go back. Well, no, that's coach speak.
Well,
it was a total, I felt so bad for the players and the coaches after the game. I went in and talked with Coach Fedora. They were really down. They really felt like they had good practice, and they thought they had a good scheme, and nothing worked. And it was just one of those days where everything you tried didn't work.
Well, when your football team gives up more points than your basketball team the night before, that's a bad day at the office.
Yeah, it really is. They were certainly disappointed. And but as he said all week, too, you just have to rebound and play better tonight. So that's the nice thing about the short week, because you didn't get to think about it very long.
But, what we're calling now pinball football, these high scores, and my column this week was 50 is the new 30. 68-50 isn't too bad if you've got the 68. I mean, we thought Idaho was a great game.
Right.
So offensive football, pinball football, every week now a dozen colleges are hanging 50 points on the board. And West Virginia, of course, was doing all their stuff. Why is that happening, Bubba? You're the expert.
I really don't know the answer to that. I do think that teams have spread out the field. And, and Larry talked about it when he first got here offensively. Spreading the offense more horizontally creates some seams where you can score. And, that's precisely what option football does. It spreads the defense horizontally, and with the cut blocking, if you get the right seam, you're going to go. And I don't know if the stat is right or not, but I was told that Georgia Tech has 22 one-play touchdowns this year, and which sounds remarkable, but when you do spread the field horizontally, then all of a sudden you have a chance to go on a vertical run, and you go untouched.
Did they play us more than once this year?
No, but they've been on the downside scoring 40-some-odd points as well. So you're right. I just think that the offenses currently, and I think the rules are making it a little bit easier for the offenses to be successful.
All right, now that brings up the point. As these things ebb and flow over time, I mean, remember, if you go back to the University of Michigan years ago, had Fielding Yost, and they called him Point a Minute Fielding Yost's teams at Michigan. So high-scoring teams have happened before. Do you envision the rules committees saying, oh, this is scary, we better make some rules, either narrow the field or put an extra defensive back or something to bring it back into sync, or does it really matter if the fans are enjoying it?
Well, I think there's always things kind of seem to work in cycles, so I do think at some point there'll probably be some rule changes that will give a little bit of an advantage to the defense. They have tried to cut down on the cut blocks, and they've made a few changes this year on the open field blocking by receivers that we thought would help reduce some of the scoring, but it really hasn't.
I mean, you were talking about the locker room Saturday was down. Well, let's go back 2 weeks earlier where there was 1,000 yards of offense done in a game that the locker room was a little bit different.
Right, and certainly they were, you know, very excited after we beat State. But we did give up a lot of yards. But when you look at the games that we've lost this year, we have given up both rushing and passing yardage. The games that we have won, we've actually given up a lot of yards, but usually it's just in one of the two categories. So it's the inability to make them one-dimensional that has cost us games.
Well, you know, Bubba, maybe you can tell us this, but the truth is, in when you get together with Coach Fedora, you know, privately or before the season, and when you talk about how the team is really going to be, he's not going to say it publicly. But the truth is, we were very thin. We had good players. And that's has been with Carolina. We've always had good plays. We've never had enough of them. And we have good plays in the offensive, defensive, interior, but we don't have enough of them. And when Georgia Tech would break the huddle and they would send their 6'3", 6'4", wideouts out to both sides of the formation and our 5'11 cornerback would line up against, I would always go, uh-oh. And when the sweep went to that side, I mean, our defensive backs disappeared because they were so big and they were so good at those cut blocks. You know, we need more players on defense. And I know Coach is going to go after that in the offseason, but wouldn't you agree that we're too thin in the ranks even late now in the season when the injuries are piling up?
Yeah, he's very excited about the recruiting and the prospects that he's been talking to. But I'll tell you, he has never once said to me since the season started, complain about lack of talent. And I think it's a great tribute to him and to his staff. We really like the players we have, and we're doing everything we can to win with the guys we have. And I've been really impressed with him being so matter-of-fact and so businesslike in his approach to good and bad. He talks about adversity all the time. You've probably heard him quoted a million times. He talks to the team about it. You know, you look at adversity, you know it, either you're in the middle of something or something bad's about to happen, and you just have to deal with it. And he just deals with issues as they come to him.
Well, 68 points, I mean, now, when he went home that night, when everything was said and done, I mean, maybe it was Red Bull or something else in the can, but how many do you think he downed that night?
Well, the good thing about, you know, his family hasn't moved out, so his wife and a couple of his kids were here this past weekend, so I'm sure he got to spend a little bit of time with them, although it may not have been the quality time you'd expect. When you're up 68, most time your kids don't want to hang around with you.
And when you score 50 and don't win, that's another thing. You know, so.
Well, Bubba, let's move on beyond these two games and get into some other things, because having you is such a rare privilege for us that we're still, as I say, we're giddy just to have the opportunity to share you with our listeners. Are you aware, of course, you came from Notre Dame. You were an undergraduate and spent, 15 years in the Notre Dame administration. UNC playing UVA is probably going way back when Duke was Trinity College, the longest-running rivalry that UNC had. And most UNC fans will consider Virginia to be as close to comparable as we will allow anyone to be. I mean, no one is Chapel Hill, no one is Carolina, but if someone is close, they normally say Virginia is, because athletically and academically and historically, the two schools are very similar. And I would put that rivalry sort of like Notre Dame and Army. At one time, the Notre Dame-Army rivalry was a big deal. Well, it's not so much anymore. But UVA and UNC, have you gotten a feel for what that means to the old grads?
Well, I think so. You know, the thing I really like about the rivalry is the mutual respect between the institutions. And that's what I think is a great rivalry. It's not, there's no animosity. It's not ugly. It's two schools that have a lot of respect for the institutions, for the programs, and for the people. And I think that is something of great value.
Wait a minute. Are you saying the State Carolina is not a good rivalry because we hate each other and don't respect each other?
I said that the Virginia-Carolina rivalry is a great rivalry.
Keep pushing, Art. Keep pushing, Art. I think we've got him on the ledge. Well, now, okay, so we've got that, and we've got a mutual respect there because of the whole institution. Do you see the Notre Dame coming into the ACC to be the same type of developing rivalry?
Yeah, I think so, but I think rivalries, they take time to develop, and I do think there's a lot of respect between North Carolina and Notre Dame. People have talked about the experience 4 or 5 years ago when we had the home-and-home series with them, and people enjoyed it. You know, and I think that's why Notre Dame felt that this was a great league for them. I think there's a lot of similarities between Notre Dame and schools in our league. Now, with them joining, they're the sixth private in the ACC. And so there's a lot of schools that have the same philosophy, both public and private.
Our fans have always looked, and particularly when Mack Brown was here, that we couldn't beat Florida State. And a lot of fans, and I'm among that, sort of say, well, if we beat Florida State, and we have beaten them a few times lately if they've been in a down cycle, I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables. And certainly Virginia and Georgia Tech both would be in that. State, Duke, Wake Forest would be in that. Do you kind of feel the same way that when you look at a school like Virginia, that that's a school that we should be as good or better and hopefully beat them 3 out of 5, if not 5 out of 5?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you go into every season hoping to win every game that you play, but you also know that that's not realistic. And there's not a single school that we line up against that we don't think we can beat, but we're never going to out Florida State. We're the University of North Carolina. We want to be the best that we can be, recruit the students that can be successful here, and then if we win, we win. If we don't, we're going to try to figure out a way to be a little bit different the next time we have a chance to win. You know, I think Georgia Tech has done a remarkable job of creating a system that is really good for them. Now, I don't think we'll be that way forever, nor do I think it's something we'd like to do, but I really like Larry's fast-paced offense. Now we've got to work on the defense, but I think it's an engaging style that fits us very well.
Bob Lee, this is too good to stop, but we do have to take a break for a minute, so we're gonna take a break and be back with more.
Don't go away, Bubba. Yeah. Bubba,
we're going to be
right
back
there
with more Bubba Cunningham right after this.
We are broadcasting live at University Square, downtown Chapel Hill. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, breaking in for a moment to talk to somebody very important who just walked in here. Travis Kukovich, William Travis Jewelry, is here. And we're kicking off the holiday season. And what's going on at your place tonight?
We have a big party going on tonight. It looks like the store is almost capacity. We have Koku Barbecue, which is a Korean food truck that is doing all of our food tonight and wine and just kicking off the holiday season.
Now, I recall from years past that you do quite a lot of celebrating over there.
We do quite a lot of celebrating over there. It's one of the big parties in town, we think. And this year we're celebrating. It was just announced that we've won a 2013 Spectrum Award, which in our industry is probably the equivalent of a Pulitzer Prize in writing.
Wow.
So this is our sixth in career. And this puts us number 3 in the nationally as a ranked designer store. So that's pretty good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That your store is full to capacity almost tonight because you have so many regular customers, people who keep coming back, and they're like your lifetime customers.
Absolutely. 24 years here in the Triangle, I've been making jewelry, and half of those people over there have known me for 24 years. I held their children when they were babies, and now they're holding mine when they're babies.
Well, we appreciate your being here tonight. Thanks for hosting us. And University Square is a place to be. Everybody come on down. All the festivities will be continuing until 8 o'clock tonight at University Square.
Most
of the
down.
Stores here. And go to William Travis Jewelry and see what's going on over there. Thank you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go back to Art Chansky and Bob Lee now. More of the good sports. More of their interview with Bubba Cunningham, Director of Athletics at Carolina.
All right. This is Art C. with Bob Lee on the good sports. And we're back with Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham speaking to us from a broom closet in Scott Stadium, when the only place where we could get a quiet Bubba Cunningham on the line. So, Bubba, thanks for joining us again. We talked about Notre Dame in the first segment, and we just had an election where the word arithmetic was used a lot. You know, when Notre Dame came into the league and we had the press conference and things were announced, some of the things about them being in the league didn't add up to me, and maybe you can shed some light on that. You know, the fact that they keep all of their NBC TV money, they keep all of their bowl money, yet they're in the ACC bowl order. You know, after the team that goes to the championship, they get in the order for bowls to select them. It seems to me that even if we add a team at the end, that's a money-losing proposition because Notre Dame keeps its bowl money and is not as much money going into the pool, or will the expanded TV contract, because Notre Dame is in the league, will that compensate for it?
Well, a couple of things. One is I do think that their addition to the league will significantly enhance our television package with ESPN. So each school will be advantaged by having them in. The contract bowls, now in the Orange Bowl in this case, is owned by the parties to the contract. It's owned by the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC at Notre Dame. So we'll have to work on that split. I'm not familiar with the revenue split for Notre Dame in the remaining bowls. So I don't know. I really don't know if I can answer that question effectively. But I will say that the number of bowls that the ACC can contract with, the amount of revenue generated by those bowls that we can align ourselves with now with 15 teams, will be better than the lineup that we could get and be more lucrative than we could get with 14 teams.
So even if Notre Dame, it comes out that Notre Dame keeps all of their bowl money no matter what bowl they're in, the fact that we're going to have a deeper bowl lineup is going to offset that.
Correct. Hmm. And so then, the other part of it is there will come a time where Notre Dame is going to get selected to a bowl that's going to aggravate somebody in our league because they're going to jump over somebody and they're going to be in a bowl. And that school is going to complain that Notre Dame, quote-unquote, took their spot.
Well, as long as it's NC State, who cares?
But we can't, as a league, do that. Because when we agreed to bring them in, we knew that that's going to happen at some point. So when we're taking the money every year from the television contract and those bowl relationships, you have to remember that at some point they're going to take a spot that we've already agreed to. And then you can't complain after the fact that you agreed to something 4 years ago and, oops, I forgot, or you get amnesia. So I just don't want, you know, and if it happens to us, it happens to us. But I'll recognize that we received a benefit by them being in the league.
All right, we'll take your word for it, and we promise not to complain.
Speak for yourself, Chance.
Yeah, you brought it up, Bubba. You mentioned the contract bowl. The announcement came out this week. I hope you can shed some light on this and explain this to us. There were three contract bowls and three host bowls. You just mentioned what a contract bowl is, but can you go over again and define the difference between a contract bowl and a host bowl? And why are there three contract bowls when there's going to only be two semifinal games? Is that going to be on a rotation?
Okay, the difference between a contract bowl and a host bowl, a contract bowl is owned by the conferences that are going to play in that game. And so you own the game, you own the television rights, you own the tickets, and you also are responsible for the expenses.
Do we own the Orange Bowl? Is that one of the...
Yes.
Okay.
And so then the host bowls, the sponsoring organization, the local organizing committee, owns the rights to the game, and then they are licensed by the NCAA. Teams can be selected to participate in it, and then they're paid an appearance fee, if you will, by the host. And then you take your expenses out of the revenue that you receive. So you actually own the game when you're the contract bowl.
So there's six of them, and so it'll be a three-year rotation where every 3 years, two of them will host the two semifinal games. And it really, in that matter, other than the fact that who owns what, there's no difference between a contract bowl and a host bowl in terms of the rotation.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, Bubba, let me see how quickly you become acclimated to being a Carolina guy. There was a basketball game at late night at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. Who were you pulling for, or were you pulling for either of those blue-hued schools?
There's a great question.
That's what I do, Bubba.
Oh, that is a great
question. Answer the question, Bubba.
I can't. I don't know if I have an answer for you on that one.
You were not pulling for Mr. Calipari. But did you laugh at the flop joke?
Yes.
and did you hear what Coach K said in his press conference afterwards when the flop line was addressed? Did you hear what he said?
No.
Was it X-rated?
No, he said, our players don't get paid, so they would have nothing to pay a fine with.
Oh, boy. Very nice.
All right, but let me ask you another question. Let me ask you a personal question. I love asking this of top executives that I have the opportunity to talk with. As the athletic director, and you are highly, highly sought after, and we're very fortunate to have you, and we certainly appreciate that, what is your number one administrative talent? Are you like an accountant? Are you a marketer? Are you an organizer? Are you a personnel manager? What's your number one talent? You're a generalist, I know, but what's your number one talent?
Wow, that's a great question.
I keep hearing that.
Because that's what you do, Bubbly.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. All right. We're giving you time to think, Bubbly.
Yes, you are. I appreciate that. I do think I listen pretty well and then can try to create order out of a lot of different opinions. So okay. I don't know what skill that would be.
Herding cats? managing a staff of solid people that should know their particular disciplines.
Yeah, and paying attention and trying to navigate and get people on the same page, moving in the same direction.
Well, now, one thing that you did several months ago, after you'd been here long enough to kind of get a feel for the staff that you inherited and whatnot, some people that you brought in, you sort of moved some people around and you revised some job descriptions. And I love that, because that way you're taking people coming up like you were at Notre Dame and saying, down the road, you want to be an athletic director, or you want to be whatever, and giving them a chance to learn those interdisciplinary skills of being a full athletic director.
Yeah, and if that's what people want to do, that's great. If not, it was also part of my motivation was to have a very quality, experienced staff who I think over time, you know, get stale at one job. Now do a different job, so you have to learn something new, and you may even have a different perspective, and we may find a different solution to an old problem. So I'm hoping it's energizing and motivating to the staff that, you know, I don't care if they don't want to go somewhere else and be an AD. I'd just like them to stay here, be fulfilled, and be productive in what they're doing here.
Well, now that, Bubba, this is almost your one-year anniversary of officially starting, I think. Is that past? It's pretty close to this, right?
Well, I don't know who's counting, but it's...
Oh, trust me, Bubba, people count.
Today is day number 366, but I'm not counting.
All right. Well, in part of that reorganization that Bob Lee was just talking to, I mean, you know, you're now the only athletic director that has a 200-member senior staff. I know that. So.
Well, it's fortunate that we have large facilities, so we hold that one in Keene.
Yeah, that's great. But, you know, when you're talking about coaches now having single-sport administrators to deal with, I guess before everybody reported directly to Dickie and Beth, but now you've got guys, single sport administrators, in trying to prepare for a career, do those guys eventually have to be single sport administrator for football and men's basketball to really be ready to be a Division I BCS athletic director?
You know, it really helps. You know, when you go, you know, I've interviewed, when I was trying to get an AD job for the first time, you know, you'd sit in the interview and people would ask you, do you have sport responsibility? Have you ever hired a coach? Ever fired a coach? And you know, if you haven't been the person doing that, you know, it's hard to answer. And like everybody, I guess I'm like everybody else. When you are new at something, you think your energy and enthusiasm is what you need. The more you've done it, then the more you think experience is valuable. So, you know, it's probably somewhere in between. But it is hard. One, it's hard to get an interview if you don't have sport responsibility. And second, it's really hard to get a job if you haven't had the ability to hire and fire coaches.
That is our chance game, Bob Lee, talking to Bubba Cunningham, Director of Athletics at Carolina, and a very interesting interview, guys. We're going to get back to them in just a moment, but first, we have Betsy Hayes here from Peacock Alley, and Betsy, thank you very much for being here and hosting us tonight. We've had a great time.
Thank you for coming. We love having you.
This is your one chance here, again, to appeal to the masses out there. Tell them what's going on at not only Peacock Alley, but also University Square.
Well, it's a holiday party for the whole square, all the way down. Everybody has all their Christmas up, all their holiday up, and everybody's very festive and happy, and we hope you'll come out and join us for the evening.
Well, this is a great way to kick off the holiday season, and special festivities going on until 8 o'clock tonight. And, again, this is a great place for us to be. We said, Bob Lee said earlier, he felt like we were bulls in a china shop here because there's so many great things. We're being very careful not to knock them over.
Knock them over. We'll just go ahead and knock over all you want.
Yeah, you break it.
Barry, help!
That's what's happening here tonight. You can kick off the holiday season, and even if you can't get out tonight, come by University Square and see what they have to offer.
Please do, and thank you for coming and sharing the evening with us.
Thank you very much for having us. Now let's get back to the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Betsy Hayes, thank you very much. Art Chansky, coming up on the end of the show here, and this is always the most exciting time of the day or the night for me.
Well, let's talk for a minute about that thing that you mentioned to Bubba on the interview, the Duke-Kentucky basketball game.
You sure you don't want to talk about host bowls and contract bowls?
No.
I've got a couple of thousand more questions about that.
I wanted to find the difference, but it was a great game. It was a great game until Calipari was ready to bring in the Gestapo, Yeah. You know, and he was going to tell him, stop him from flopping, you know. And then Coach K's line afterwards, you know, about we don't, our players don't get paid. That's really not true because they could borrow the money from Lance Thomas, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right. Can,
or at least go down to the pawn shop with Lance and, you know, cash in the bling.
All right, Heisman countdown. How do you look at the Heisman?
I don't see Johnny Football getting. I know he's a hot topic right now. Johnny Football, who, by the way, has a police record in Kerrville, Texas, where he's from. He's quite the bad boy growing up. I still like Colin Klein.
You know what?
What?
I don't care. It's a bad Heisman year now that Gio's out. Okay, BCS countdown. Alabama, you mentioned it, lost to Texas A&M, whose coach is Kevin Sumlin, by the way, who interviewed here before we hired Fedora, who grew up in College Station. So, were some Carolina fans wishing for a straight-up trade late last Saturday night?
No. All Carolina fans in their right mind, which eliminates about 5% that are there in the crazy bin, the lunatic fringe, are very happy with Larry Fedora.
That's true. I'll stick with the hat myself. But yep. Don't. As far as the Bama loss goes, do not count Alabama out.
I will not either. I look for Alabama is going to find a way to get back in there.
If there's only one team left with zero losses, look for Alabama.
The game is out. The TV game, if you're a TV executive, you want Alabama, Oregon.
All right, give me a Super Bowl
prediction. I think Oregon's going to be there.
Give me a Super Bowl prediction.
Houston Texans, and I just love Eli Manning. I don't care if they're eliminated yet or not. Or I will take Peyton. I just give me a Manning in a Super Bowl. I don't care who else to play.
Well, you can't have two from the same conference, so that shows you how much you know about pro
football. I know Roger Goodell.
I'll take the New England Patriots versus the New York Giants, and the Pats will blow it again in the last 2 minutes.
Well, hey,
I've seen that movie before.
That's optimism for you.
All right, who's on the coaching hot seat?
Auburn and Tennessee, as usual. I don't see anyone in the ACC now. Virginia was doing bad. Of course, he was only in his second year, so I think he would have survived anyway. And the Marine apparently has risen up on one knee, if not totally erect, so he's fine. I don't see anyone in the ACC being on a hot seat right now.
Well, you said Al Golden was going to leave, though.
Well, he's going to leave, but that's on his own choice. Well, he's just going to leave the sinking ship there.
Spaziano's done it.
Oh, yeah. Are they still in the ACC?
But I differ with you. I believe O'Brien is gone. I believe he's gone. I believe Debbie Yao has already made.
You've got some secret connection in Frau Yao's office there.
I do.
Don't know what
I believe
that is.
He's gone.
You and Frau got something going over there.
All right, I'll tell you what. We're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna come back, and we have some closing comments. We have the comments of these guys, their predictions for the game, and the infamous 2 minute drill. It is on the way next with the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee, broadcasting live tonight from University Square in downtown Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz, back with more on WCHL Carolina versus Cavaliers coming up.
Relief from your chronic pain without taking medication? Help with depression and anxiety with no pills? It's all possible thanks to one of the world's oldest treatments, acupuncture. And UNC Family Medicine in Chapel Hill is one of the only primary care facilities in the area offering acupuncture on site. If you want relief without taking medication or feel you've tried everything else, find out more about acupuncture at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels!
You know, we still got a long way to go, I mean, before we get to where we want to be. And, you know, so hopefully we'll get a little bit better this week. But we've made improvement every week. So, you know, hopefully at some point during this year we're going to be where we want to be.
That is Coach Larry Fedora getting ready for the Cavaliers in Carolina coming up tonight on WCHL.
I love Fedora, but what improvement was he referring to that we made last week?
I don't know. On offense, maybe. But at any rate, it's time for my favorite part of the show, the two-minute drill. Can we demonstrate that bell over there that we're going to have?
Wow.
So you guys have to keep it snappy.
All right.
ESPN, eat your heart out.
Here go the questions for you. Question number one, is Walt Weiss the first Tar Heel baseball alum to be named a major league manager?
No. The late Clyde King. managed the Braves with Hank Aaron, the Giants with Willie Mays, and the Yankees with Reggie Jackson, the late Clyde King from Goldsboro.
Oh, and I was just going to say, where's he from? Okay.
Goldsboro. Clyde King. Great guy.
What, Walt Weiss may be the only manager ever who jumped from high school to the major leagues. You know, he was a high school coach last year.
That's quite a distinction. Okay. Yep.
All right.
You ready? On to the next question. The era of the Barth brothers is over with Connor, of course, in the NFL. Casey hurt now, out for the season. Can you name other Tar Heel brothers?
I can name a bunch, but let's do this one and one. You name a pair of brothers.
All right, Rick and Steve Steinbacher.
Okay, Wade and Roger Smith from the late 50s.
All right, Chris and Matt Kupick.
David and Ron Lemons, baseball players from the late 60s.
All right, name another one.
Gary and Eddie Hill from the same era.
Name another one.
Doug and Donnie Moe.
I thought you were talking about football players.
I'm talking about soccer players or field hockey girls, whatever. We're talking about Tar Heel athletes who were siblings.
Do the Ware twins get an honorable mention?
Are you done? Who? What did you say?
Oh, I got the Streeters. Yeah. The Streeters. Oh, Eric and Steve Streeter.
Yeah, he said the Ware twins who used to play basketball.
The Ware twins. Okay.
Who left in the middle of the night because their mother couldn't make macaroni anymore.
And I'll end it up with Tyler and Tammy Hansbrough. Oops, missed that one. Okay.
All right. Next question. Who is UVA's version of Choo Choo Justice, or is there one?
Bullet Bill Dudley.
Oh.
He pre-Choo Choo. He was in the early 40s. He preceded Choo Choo. Bullet Bill Dudley.
I'm going to say Frank Quayle. Or was it your man Dan Quayle?
No, it was Frank, who comes from the same city as number 23 from Garden City, Long Island, our very own Don McCauley.
All right. Time now for predictions, guys. We're going to get into this game. Carolina on the road tonight. Charlottesville, Scott Stadium against the Virginia Cavaliers. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, brother, tough place to play, not playing well in defense. Eric Ebron didn't make the trip. He's out with an injury, so that serves a blow to our offense. Michael Rocco and Renner both have thrown for 1,000 yards. The only chance is that they don't run the triple option. I say we needed 40 to beat NC State. We're going to need 50 to beat the Hoos. I'm hoping, but Bob Lee, I just don't see it happening for the Tar Heels.
Well, I think this is going to be win one for Casey and Eric. Casey Barth and Eric not being able to play. The team's going to rally around and win one for them. It's going to be Tar Heels 35, Hoos 24.
Well, if anybody cares what I think the Tar Heel defense is going to be better tonight. I don't know how much better, but a lot better than they
how
were last
they
week.
They
give up
worse?
Less than 68 points.
67?
Yeah, I think I can safely say that. So you guys are you predicting a Carolina win or not?
I am, but then again, I tend to be positive about our hometown team.
No, my heart tells me Carolina, but my head says Virginia by a touchdown.
All right, folks, so that's it. We're broadcasting live from University Square in downtown Chapel Hill, West Franklin Street, and we have all kinds of things going on here. It's for the holidays. They're kicking off the holiday season. Come to University Square and see these folks. And this has been The Good Sports with Art C.
Hey, I'll see you weekdays on WCHL and write you on chapelboro.com.
And I'm Bob Lee, and if you want more of me, check out BobLeeSays.com, the best sports commentary on the planet Earth. Check it out.
All right, we'll see you next time with Good Sports, the show that knows the score and tells it to you. And I just did your line, but it doesn't matter. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Three bulls in a china shop. I'm telling you, three bulls in a china shop.
The Good Sports is heard before every Carolina football game at 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. The Carolina-Virginia game coming up on WCHL.